It's Food Friday, and we're gearing up for holiday season, which means lots of potlucks and gatherings with the important people in our lives, whether it's at work, church, or with friends. But what dish can you bring that's going to be okay sitting out on that table for a couple few hours?
We asked Food Friday regular Lori Skelton this very question, and she's been investigating different dishes leading up to today. And we want to hear from you, too, on this. What is your holiday potluck go-to recipe? What do you make that still tastes good at the end of that fun get-together? And what potluck recipe gets the most compliments? What's your secret? Call in now at 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
Lori's with us in the studio now. She's one of our in-house foodies at WPR and a Food Friday regular. Lori, good to talk to you again.
Good to be back.
Well, one of the challenges you decided to tackle here is you're not using a crock pot or anything like that. You're going to try to find something that's good and keeps well at room temperature. Why did you want that particular challenge?
Because I have been guilty of poisoning people at a potluck because I made something in a crock pot the night before. Unplugged the crock pot, drove several hours to the event, plugged the crock pot in, and this was a dish that had eggs in it and dairy. It was a grain, but custard binding the grain, and I honestly thought that was safe. And oh boy, were we sick!
Wow, that's a cautionary tale, isn't it?
Yeah. What you should bank on if you are going to use a crock pot to keep something warm at a potluck, don't make it in the crock pot and then take it. Make the dish as hot as possible and then transport it to the venue, keeping it hot, and then put it in the crock pot once you get there. You have to keep your internal temperature of your food at least 140 degrees if it's a hot dish. And you should always think about, if you are going to serve something hot that has to be hot, 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 you have to take in your transportation time as well. You've really got about a two-hour window. So if you can plan it so it's the last thing you do before you walk out the door is that you take that pot of food off the stove, then you've got some leeway. But you do have to be careful. So I really was on the lookout for things that you've got a bit of wiggle room.
So if you had made your dish in the crock pot, unplugged it, stuck it in the fridge so it had come down quite a bit in temperature, then transported it well chilled and reheated it there, do you think that would have worked?
That's even something that a lot of food safety sites, foodsafety.gov, does not recommend you do that. So do plan. If you are planning on chilling something, find another way to heat it up again before you put it back in that crock pot. Just to be on the safe side.
Let's get into some ingredients. I'm not going to bring maybe my container of eggs and dairy in the car for a long time. What are some ingredients that hold up a little better, a little longer, safely for that potluck?
You need to be careful with cut fruit. So dried fruit is always a good idea. How you cook your vegetables can determine whether or not they're going to spoil a little faster. If you're roasting or pickling your vegetables to add flavor, that's a really great idea. What I found is that things that lean on beans, lentils, nuts, and grains will definitely give you more wiggle room. So the first thing to think about when you're taking something to a potluck is come up with a great grain salad that doesn't have a creamy dressing. Look for vinegars or good vinaigrettes. Use a lot of acidic fruits to dress your salads. And just go from there. Your main dish salad, starting with a grain, adding some good vegetables. And then if you want some protein, you can think about nuts. Or what's a real lifesaver for any potluck is a meat that's been cured in some way. Smoked sausages or pre-cooked kielbasa or cured ham, or what we'll talk about a little bit later, I'd never worked before, is salt cod. So look for things that have already been cooked if you're going for protein there, and add that to a grain salad.
Well, can you share a recipe that uses some of those things, those beans and legumes and an acidic dressing and dried fruit? It sounds pretty good together. What did you try with that one?
One thing that is a real favorite is a Martha Stewart favorite salad. She uses farro, but you could use something like barley or millet or quinoa or even pearl couscous, and she'll combine that nutty grain with golden raisins, with fresh fennel, mint, and she likes that real bitter radicchio. And her dressing for that salad is a mixture of lemon juice, and honey. Mm. And honey is a really good preservative as well. If you don't like a green that's that bitter...
And I don't.
Okay. Arugula, chopped romaine would work okay. really well. And if you want to add more protein, that's a good one for peanuts or pecans.
Sounds pretty good.
Yeah. And so that's just a basic thing to start with. You're to serve between 4 and 6, you're looking at a cup of grain or grain or rice or whatever that you're going to cook, and then you can use that as your basis and add as many vegetables and interesting things as you want.
And you could add, some smoked salmon, according to what you were saying? I was remembering one of the earlier dishes you made that I actually loved and keep meaning to make. It had goat cheese, but could you take that same smoked salmon and put it in this farro salad?
Smoked salmon would work. I see a lot of people using cold poached salmon in composed salads on buffets. I'm not exactly sure that's entirely safe at room temperature, but if you know that when you get there, you can you can put it in a shallow bowl and set that shallow bowl in a bigger shallow bowl on a bed of ice, there you're safe. But definitely smoked salmon is a good one. And if you can keep an eye on it, cold poached salmon is another good way to add protein.
It is Food Friday. We're getting ready for potluck season with Lori Skelton. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a potluck go-to? Do you need some ideas? What do you do to make sure the food you have out on the table stays safe and fresh? Call in at 800-642-1234. Lori, I understand you had some leftover kale from your garden this year, a good timely thing, and you did something to make it a little more appropriate for a potluck kind of recipe.
I never thought of using kale as the green for a pesto. But if you can blanch kale, or if you have leftover kale, if you throw that in your blender or your food processor, again, with some nuts, garlic, lemon, extra virgin olive oil, you toss that with some boiled... You want a fat shape of pasta here. Penne is a good one, or radiatore. And then throw that in with, again, roasted vegetables, roasted butternut squash. Ooh. as a weight. And the original recipe I looked at didn't say this was a room temperature dish, but I ended up eating the leftovers for breakfast at room temperature the next morning, and it was magnificent. So we think about pasta salads a lot with mayonnaise, and of course mayonnaise can be problematic on a buffet table as well. So rework your favorite pasta salads so you don't need a creamy dressing, and see what you can do with vegetables there.
And you said blanch the kale first, and blanching, that's hot water just very briefly and then cold?
30 seconds, and then drain it. And
that breaks down some of that toughness in the kale, I imagine.
But it still keeps it bright green and makes it that much easier to throw in the food processor. And you're right, you won't have quite that ropey texture from the middle.
And I noticed when you were giving that pesto recipe, you did not include cheese, which is usually a component of, you know, basil pesto. Was that intentional? You're trying to just take all the dairy right out of it?
It was intentional for this particular program, oddly enough, that it wasn't really something that was called for in the original recipe that I saw. I think this one was from the New York Times. But yeah, now there's something with a harder cheese like Parmesan. That's not going to spoil as rapidly. So if you want to be absolutely safe, you make your pesto without the cheese and then just serve it with the cheese on the side.
Ah, there you go.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Jessica in Oak Alley. Jessica, hi.
Hi.
What do you want to tell us about?
I actually have a cream cheese dip. I put the cream cheese and cinnamon and mix that together, and then you make a gel out of cranberries for Thanksgiving, and then once that's hot, you pour it over the top of the cream cheese and it gels over. And usually I just freeze that before I travel. I've never had any problems with it. And we travel so far that after, you know, it's sitting and it's been frozen, then it, you know, it will thaw out, and it's perfect for
It thaws out traveling. Just in time for when you get there.
Right, exactly.
So when you say you make a cranberry gel, how are you? Are you grinding the cranberries and then cooking them down? How are you doing that?
Usually I just, you know, put the cranberries in with a little bit of water, some sugar, and then boil it on the stove, much like you might for like a jelly or something.
Okay.
And then while it's still hot, I pour it over the, you know, I let it cool a little bit, but it's in a liquid form, and then I let it, I pour it over the cream cheese, and it gels up, and then you're able to freeze it. And
I'm really intrigued by this, Jessica.
That's a cool
idea. What do you dip in it? Like carrots, or is it a sweet dip?
It's more of a sweet dip. I usually use crackers or pretzels, so it gives it kind of like a sweet and salty.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah. I love that idea. That's really cool.
Thank you so much, Jessica. Is sweet dip a thing? You're saying that like it's like that's a category. But or did we just invent
sweet dips,
that?
I've seen pumpkin dips, for instance, around Halloween, and well, and you could
right,
do
no,
it now too.
I get that it's a concept, but is it a like a category? Sweet dip.
I've seen.
I want it to be one. We're going to make it one.
I've seen it once where it was at a dessert buffet, and you had like little shortbread sticks of cookie that you could dip in lots of different dips.
In sweet dips.
Yes.
Some people might call it fondue, but no, I guess that's something entirely different.
Nope.
Okay. Well, we're talking to Food Friday regular Lori Skelton about potluck dishes as we get ready for holiday potluck season.
Taking your calls at 800-642-1234. Do you have suggestions for great potluck recipes that are good and safe? They hold up at room temperature for a while. Do you have questions about what to make maybe for a Thanksgiving or post-Thanksgiving potluck coming up or beyond into the holidays? Call in now, 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page, find a recipe that we'll talk about coming up.
We're continuing our discussion about great potluck dishes with our Food Friday regular, Lori Skelton.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a recipe that you always like to bring to potlucks or like to find at potlucks and then eat after someone else makes it? What is your favorite potluck food? What secrets do you have for bringing a potluck dish that works at that room temperature, still good after it sits out for a little while? Do you have questions? Do you need some inspiration? Call in at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And Lori, one thing you suggest is savory pies.
Mm-hmm.
And this gets us toward the recipe you provided. But what do you like about this idea about making a savory pie, not a sweet one?
The idea that, one, it's safe to serve this one at room temperature, and you can get wonderful fillings that are a little bit more compact. I'm not talking about something like a pot pie that has gravy. I'm thinking more along the lines of the pork pies that you would have found in Britain. Small pork pies are very popular in lunchboxes, so you don't have to worry about the temperature there. And of course, here in southern Wisconsin, if you're looking towards Mineral Point, we all know what a pasty is.
Yep.
I just got back from Superior. We all know what a pasty is. And hand pies these days are incredibly fun and trendy. You can make a whole bunch of different flavors, have hand pies out on your buffet, and everybody can take their choice.
Yum.
One other lovely thing that savory pies will lend themselves to, if you're not someone who's good with pie crust, take a tip again from Britain and make what is called a hot water crust. And this is where you take a pan of water and melt into it sometimes straight butter, sometimes a combination of butter and lard. And you take that water, mix your flour into it, and this will give you a dough that you don't have to worry about overworking. Mm. It's supposed to be warm, it's supposed to be malleable, and if you're not used to working with pie crust, it's a really great way to get started. It does make a sturdy crust. It's not going to be as flaky. It's going to be a little bit mealier, but it does hold fillings, especially if it's animal protein inside, holds those fillings in beautifully.
Let's get to one of those fillings, Lori. We've got it up on the Central Time Facebook page. Salt cod with tomatoes and capers.
Okay,
and this is we're filling a pie with this. Or no, this is a different one.
This is a different
one.
Okay,
this is not in the pie.
What I did for the pie that was a real hit, what the initial recipe was ground pork and sliced apples. And part of the fun of this, I didn't use a hot water crust. I used a regular crust, but I put cheddar cheese and a lot of sage in that. And I was thinking with a pie that had that kind of a flavorful crust, you wouldn't want to put too much seasoning in with the pie. That is a mistake, especially if you know you're going to be serving something at room temperature. Go ahead and dump a little bit more spice into it. This was pork spiced with cinnamon and ginger and nutmeg and allspice, and I ended up doubling the amount of spices in the original recipe.
Sounds kind of medieval.
Yeah.
It is. It
420 Blackbird style.
Almost. But again, especially if you're going to be serving something at room temperature, you're going to need that extra flavor to carry. And from that basic recipe, I also tried a vegetarian version using apples, leeks, and mushrooms. The filling was delicious, but because I tried making a gluten-free crust with that one, the crust was a disaster, so I did not bring that in for anybody to share.
Let's take a caller now, and we've got Winthrop with us in Genoa City. Winthrop, hi.
Hi. I really liked what you were talking about with the savory pies at a potluck, and it made me think of one thing that I like to make is a spanica pita, the little Greek phyllo dough filled with spinach and cheese. Yeah. And the thing that I like about them is that the phyllo dough stays really crisp at room temperature. Sometimes you make things with crust, and the crust will go soggy if it's not hot, but the phyllo dough stays really crispy. And the cheese in it, you can put feta cheese in it. I like putting goat cheese in it sometimes, and that cheese stands nicely at room temperature, too, so it's not something that you really have to worry about. And they're always nice when they're hot, but when they start to cool off and they've, you know, been sitting out at room temperature, they still taste really amazing.
Yeah, and sometimes the flavor gets even better. That's actually one of my favorite dishes of all time and a potluck favorite, but it's got cheese in it, Lori.
It's got cheese in it, so as long as you know that this is going to be either eaten very quickly, or do this. When you get to your spot at the potluck, cut your dish in half. If you've got a whole tray of spanakopita, cut it in half, put half of it out on the buffet, and then put half of it in the refrigerator. And if people want more, throw it in the oven, heat it up, get it to the proper temperature, and then put that second tray out.
Sounds fantastic, Winthrop. Thanks a lot. Well, I teased it, Lori. Now let's get to this. It's not a pie filling. I can't be more clear about this. The recipe on our Central Time Facebook page this week, salt cod with tomatoes and capers. I could fill a pie with this if I wanted to. But tell us about this recipe.
This was the recipe that made me so happy. It was the first time I've ever worked with salt cod. I've heard about it all my life, just never had the urge to try it. Salt cod is used in cultures all over, wherever you've got access to the fish. It shows up in the Caribbean, in Greek dishes, Spain, Portuguese, French, Scandinavian. One person who was commenting on the recipe that I found online said that she ate this for breakfast in Trinidad. And salt cod is a way of preserving that fish. When you soak it to get some of the salt out, you end up with a fish that has a chewier texture and a milder taste than regular cod. And in Italy, Christmas Eve is very often given over to a buffet of seafood dishes. It's a little bit of abstinence before you start tucking into the real heavy stuff for Christmas Day dinner. They have what they call the Feast of the Seven Fishes, and salt cod in a spicy tomato sauce is one of the highlights of that Christmas Eve celebration. So I used Mario Batali's version. He calls it bacala, salt cod, a la Vesuviana. And so his tomato sauce was a little bit spicier, had a lot of capers in, so a fair amount of robust spices in it. And this was one that I brought for the Halloween potluck for Wisconsin Public Radio. I took it off the stove at 10:45 in the morning. The potluck brought people in at noon. Now, I deliberately kept back one piece of fish in tomato sauce that I told myself I would try later, and I ate it at 2:30, so hours after I took it off the stove, no ill effects whatsoever. This is one that I feel is very, very safe to be served at room temperature. If you don't have a chafing dish, if you don't have access to a crock pot, this would be a great thing to make. Once you've soaked your fish, it comes together in about 10 minutes.
You've soaked your... I don't know anything about salt cod. So wait, okay. So does this mean you take a fillet of uncooked fish Then you soak it in salt, which...
No, you buy salt cod, right? You buy salt cod.
It's pre-salted.
Yeah, that's how you preserve it. And so you soak it in clear, cool water. And depending on your particular brand, you may have to soak it for a day, changing the water. You may have to soak it for two.
Is it dried?
It feels a little spongy. Yes, technically it's dried and salted as a preservative, but it's not dry like leather is dry.
It's not cod jerky.
No.
Okay. Sounds great, though.
Have to work on that. I know you can make salmon jerky, but haven't tried it with cod. And there's another thing. Mario Batali's basic recipe, which we will have up on the Facebook page, this is going to be a great base. You can add potatoes if you want. You can use olives instead of capers. Some people want to put raisins in for sweetness. If you don't have to worry about the room temperature aspect, salmon and haddock as a fresh fish or even fresh cod is another great addition to it. I just love this dish.
Well, Lori, thank you so much for being with us today and sharing the inspiration with us.
My pleasure. This should get you through the holidays.
I've been talking to Lori Skelton, one of our in-house foodies here at WPR and a Food Friday regular. You can find that recipe we were just talking about. It is salt cod with tomatoes and capers. You can sub in the olives. It's a little spicy on the Central Time Facebook page and on WPR.org. While you're there, maybe share some of your potluck favorites. So I don't know, are you gonna run and try this salt cod?
I don't know. I think I'm more into the pie thing. Yeah. I like the savory pie idea, and I like the idea of Lori calls them hand pies, and I think I might give that a go.
Sounds like a lot of work.
It does, but now we have the new pie crust technique, which could make it easier.
That's true. I'm curious about that. Again, share your favorite potluck ideas and find that recipe for the salt cod. Head over to the Central Time Facebook page.